Stephen J. Kennel is with us here on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell was just bringing up Richard Slotkin, who is an historian who talks about the American myth.
And Gary Johnson.
Who is the governor of New Mexico, Republican governor.
I mentioned Slotkin because he writes histories and studies America and studies the American myth and has written a great deal about that. But he's also a novelist. And what he does, he says, when there are things I know that are true but I can't prove, I write fiction. Which sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think maybe that's probably where I come out too. You know, I mean, I believe this is happening. I can't prove it because I am not. I don't have the wherewithal to go into. And I mean,
you know, but you don't have to do everything.
But I don't
that
have to do anything.
Your
All
job.
I
want.
But I believe that the federal government believes from the Bonnie Tischler's testimony before Congress, she believes, and Ray Kelly, the head of U.S. Customs, believes, I think, that this is happening. But they've also decided not to do anything about it, you know, so...
And the cover of Night sometimes helps people not do things.
That brings another name to mind, which is Edmund Morris, but we'll get to that. Governor Gary Johnson, as you probably know, is governor of New Mexico and has gone way out on a limb advocating the legalization of drugs.
Some drugs, not all drugs.
Partly for reasons that I think are familiar in the context you're dealing with, that his principal objection, or at least one of his principal objections, is we're going after the wrong people. That the way the law is enforced is discriminatory. There are also public health reasons. There's a whole host of other reasons.
And that it corrupts everybody.
And that there is a substantial industry that now has a vested interest, both drug users, drug providers, but also the institutions that are nominally on the other side of the war. There's this whole industry that is related to drug enforcement on one side or the other. But his solution to the problem you raise is to legalize the drugs.
Oh, I think he's right. I agree with him. And you know, this does not endear me to my friends in law enforcement because a lot of their budgets come from the war on drugs.
Exactly.
And so they would just as soon have this go on forever. And when I say to my friends in law enforcement, why don't we just legalize this? Why don't we take the profit out of it? And then what we won't have guys hanging around our high schools trying to infect other kids because there won't be anything in it for them. You know, they can go and they can buy for a buck and a half, they can get their fix of cocaine or whatever it is and then hopefully get some medical treatment to try and deal with the addiction. Why don't we do that? You know, we'll shut this business down tomorrow, you know. Then they always say, whether it's law enforcement people or whether it's people on the other side of that issue who are conservatives primarily, which I happen to be a conservative Republican, but I'm not on this issue.
Well, it's Gary Johnson.
You know, and I they always bring up Amsterdam. And they go, well, you know, the number of junkies and drug addicts wander around those parks in Amsterdam and they're sleeping in. Well, that's not a fair argument. And the reason it's not a fair argument is because it has become an enclave for everybody who uses drugs. So because it's legal in that country, every drug user in Europe goes to Amsterdam.
Which means they're not in all those other places.
It means they're not in other places, but so they have a higher circumstance of drug use there, but it's for a very specific and understandable reason. My feeling is that, that we should do this, but I think it's a long time coming. I think it's, I agree with him. I don't understand why we don't. I mean, it certainly would get those drug dealers out of our school populations.
Well, and part of his argument is that the users are predominantly white middle class, and the people going to jail,
are almost city, yeah.
they're either Hispanic in his part of the world, Hispanic Native Americans or African Americans, and the law is being enforced
and poor.
Now, Edmund Morris, since, you know, what you're raising is a political issue, Edmund Morris, is, as you know, in addition to writing Dutch, wrote two and soon to be three biographies of Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt, at the turn of the century, the 19th to the 20th century, was willing to take on big industry.
As a Republican,
in an environment that was hostile to it and, in fact, could not see it as a substantive issue. The behaviors of the trust at that time was just taken to be their natural right in the way that things should be. And he was able, by sheer force of willpower and political skill and a range of other things, and Ida Tarbell, I think, probably helped, which gets back to, you know, what you're doing, which to take on seemingly insurmountable obstacles and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that part of that is a question of leadership, and the other part of that is what you're doing, which is a matter of awareness, of raising
Yeah, I'm just
issues.
Trying to light up the issue a little bit, you know. I mean, I'm not...
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, if... And I think entertainment... I mean, Traffic, I think, was very interesting, the movie, because it did show the corruption that went on in the Mexican government over drugs. Now, all my friends who are involved with drug enforcement say this is the joke in law enforcement, that the Mexican government is a criminal organization masquerading as a government, you know. And now I think Fox is a good president. I think he is a reform-minded president.
His intentions are good.
And I think his intentions are good. So hopefully that'll change. But there's been a long list of guys who've gotten wealthy as the president of Mexico, and you know, I just think that we need to be, you know, very aggressive in the way we deal with our drug problems in this country. You know, during the Reagan administration, I always thought that Nancy Reagan's "just say no" thing was a little simplistic, but you know, they did cut down drug use in this country. We law enforcement was being supported vigorously in their war against drugs. So interdiction, money was being spent in that thing, and we did manage to cut down the amount of drug use in this country. Now prices of drugs went up because the more scarce that it gets, the higher the price becomes. On the other hand, Clinton didn't much care about it, you know, and so the result of it was, and all my friends in law enforcement, and I'm talking about in the federal government, who've been involved in customs, one of their big jobs is to patrol, you know, the borders for drugs, and they were, all those guys over there were just annoyed beyond belief because they couldn't get any support at the, you know.
But part of the challenge, it would seem, in this, and you your book is just full of it, is the sheer economic impact, the ability to, I mean, you're talking about a deal that's basically a $50 million deal. The participants are going to walk away with millions of dollars in their pockets. For
tax-free.
For up to, you know, up to about chapter 20 or so, you know, looks like a piece of cake. I mean, you just go through the motions, you behave illegally, you use your knowledge, and you walk away with millions of dollars for not a great deal of work. That temptation, I mean, the corrosive impact on politicians, on bureaucrats, on governments, on police, would seem to be almost irresistible. That it requires a great deal for it asks a great deal of somebody, particularly when they see other people getting away with it.
Yeah, and it's amazing that there are so many cops, FBI agents, DEA agents, customs agents that are fighting this war against drugs and are not susceptible to those, inducements. I mean, my friend Bill Gately is not susceptible to those inducements, and it's interesting. You know, that's why I dedicated this novel to him, and I call him an American hero, because I believe he is. He's risked his life and his career to do what he thinks is right, and there are other people like him out there, you know, and the problem is that it's a highly a politicized issue, as you were just saying, and people are on both sides of the issue have something at stake in keeping it alive, in keeping the drug business the way it is, and not changing it, not legalizing it, not doing whatever the things are, you know. And I think, you know, I'm not the one that's ever going to change any of that. But in terms of the parallel market, hopefully I can make this a good read that people will go, gee, you know, I don't like that. And maybe somebody will, maybe some congressman who's not as aware of it as he might read my novel and go, gee, is this really happening? And all he has to do is to go on the internet. I mean, the information that I found on the internet, which we can turn on your computer right now and punch in black market peso exchange, and you'd be surprised how much is real. Man, I'm not talking about little tiny publication. I'm talking about the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN,
record.
Congressional Record. I mean, everywhere. I mean, it's pervasive, but it's not a sexy issue. But it is hopefully a good read, and that may.
Stephen J. Cannell has told us many things over many years about lots of things. Let's come back to this business about law enforcement in just a moment when we return with the Paula Gordon Show.